Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You guys are crazy!
You know your son was being a real brat today.
I hate you. I hate you.
That's it. I want out of this family.
I can't believe I'm even arguing about this with you!
I'm Jim Burns. Well, it seems like every child goes through a little rebellion at one time or another. But what happens if one of your kids goes off the deep end? And what happens when it seems like there's no hope that he or she will ever come back? Well, today on Homeward, I'll be joined again by father and daughter Charles and Heather Stone. When Heather hit the teen years, she did go off the deep end. And for 7 years, her parents struggled to get her back. But they did get her back, and they're both here again today to talk about the lessons they learned through those dark years with the hope that those who hear their story won't make the same mistakes that they made. Well, it's a story of heartbreak and devastation and eventual absolute restoration. It's a great story. It's coming up next on Homeward. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part two, our continuing conversation, the second half of that continuing conversation, with Charles and Heather Stone. If you have a season of life in your family right now where one of your kids is acting out, rebelling, staying out all night, being kind of a verbally abusive, you'll be encouraged by what Charles and Heather Stone have to say. Not because you'll say, oh, well, they had that story and, you know, I'm glad it's them and not me, but because there's a hope at the end. There's a opportunity for you to restore a relationship with a rebellious child. It's not always easy, and it doesn't always work this way, but in their case, it did, and we offer it to you today as hope and encouragement. Now, here's the second half of Jim and Charles and Heather.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Charles Stone and his daughter, Heather Stone, were continuing a conversation about dads and daughters surviving the teen years. They've written a great book called Daughters Gone Wild, Dads Gone Crazy. And it's an amazing story here. Charles is a senior pastor of Ginger Creek Community Church right outside of Chicago. Heather, his daughter, is a college student in a nursing program. It's a story that doesn't have a great beginning, but it has a wonderful ending. And Charles, Heather, welcome back to our program.
Great to be here again.
Thank you.
Well, it's a continued story of a dad and his daughter who went through really hell together and had their relationship restored by God's gracious hand. And we appreciate you being with us again today. Last time, both of you kind of began telling your amazing story of how God restored the broken relationship. But Charles, I'm going to ask you to give our listeners who didn't hear it last time the Reader's Digest version of kind of what was taking place in your life.
You bet, Jim. Heather was the epitome of the poster child for the perfect youth group kid. In a period of a very few months, she morphed into this rebellious, in-your-face teen. And over a period of 6 years, we sent her to over 20 different psychologists and counselors. We sent her to brat camps. She dealt with drugs, alcohol, boys. We had her on house arrest, 911 calls, you name it. But over those 6 years, God maintained our relationship, even though sometimes by a thread, and she has come back to faith and family, and now we just tell our story.
And it's a great story. Now, Heather, this lasted for several years. I mean, how were you able to justify some of this rebellious and really dangerous behavior for so long?
I don't think I was thinking. I don't think it was so much of a justification as it was just turning my brain off and doing what I felt like doing.
Do you think a lot of kids do that today?
Oh, I think so, definitely. Yeah. And I think the last thing on your mind is, you know, even as an adolescent, you don't think of, now, what's good for me or what will be beneficial in my future? You just think of the here and the now and do it.
You know, I speak to students around the country a lot of times, and I'll say the decisions you make today will affect you for the rest of your life. It's a great comment, and all the parents go, yeah, that's really good.
Kids don't
Most students are going, what? I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow night, or let alone even tonight. And it is fascinating because what you're saying here, and I think this is important for parents to understand, is that it wasn't like you said, I think I'm going to become a bad kid and I'm going to rebel from my parents. It just sort of evolved into it, didn't it?
Right. That was the thing. My parents kept blaming themselves, but it's not this sort of formulated plan like I'm going to get back at my parents. You just kind of go with whatever strange things are guiding you as a teenager, and you don't think about the long term. You don't think, well, this could hurt other people. You're just so consumed with yourself, and you know, your emotions are so up and down that you just kind of do what you feel like doing.
And this is what's interesting about this generation of students. You know, you could make some unwise decisions. Kids have done this all of, you know, since day one. I mean, Jesus actually rebelled a little bit against his parents at one time when he was age 12. But the fact is today when you're talking about sex, drugs, and so many other issues, you're talking about decisions that could affect you for a lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Charles, you said that your heart grew cold toward your daughter because of her rebellion. Describe how that felt.
Oh, wow. If you could, I've often told parents that your kids can give you the greatest amount of joy. At the same time, they can give you the greatest amount of heartache. I recall one time when Heather had been to Utah, one of these Brad camps, and it was my job during homecoming at the basketball game at the Christian school to be the fellow who shoveled ice in the white styrofoam cups. At halftime, all the proud dads would bring their girls out and the story about their favorite Bible verse and all these extracurricular activities, and I literally felt like dying. I just wanted to weep and cry and crawl into that cup. It was excruciating. There's no way to really put words on the feeling of when you feel like your child, who you love so much, you've given so much to, has turned away from every slice or scintilla of a value. Mm. It's the most painful experience, I think, a parent can feel.
Sure it is. And you were able to pull out of this coldness and kind of reignite your love with her. And you were actually able to do that before she came around and had a good side of the story. Talk about that.
There was, I think, a real watershed moment in my life. I had an office downstairs, and we had been through all the same old stuff with Heather. I went downstairs, put in my CD, was listening to Christmas music. It was early December. And the first song that came on was "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And, boy, I thought, bull, that's not true for me. So I clicked to the next one. And at that very moment, "Silent Night" came on, all orchestral, and a very beautiful rendition. And just as if God spoke to my heart, I just began weeping and weeping and weeping that I could not close my heart to Heather. At that very moment, someone started walking down the stairs. I tried to wipe my tears away, and it was Heather. Heather walked around behind me. She wrapped her arms around me, and after a few moments, I felt her tears on my head. As she walked away after maybe 20 or 30 seconds, I said something to her that I had found it so difficult to say for many months. I said, "Heather, I love you." She didn't say anything, but the next morning when I went downstairs and looked at my computer monitor, there was an orange post-it note that said, "Dad, I love you too." Mm. And I think that was a watershed moment in our relationship. Even though there were a few more years of pain that followed, that was a moment where I think God says, "You cannot close your heart to your daughter, because I never closed my heart to you."
Boy, that is a great comment. I was reading recently, even in the area of forgiveness, how arrogant of us to not forgive our daughter or our spouse or whoever it might be when God forgave us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, that's what you're talking about in that incredible moment. Heather, your dad, who is a pastor, obviously was quite conservative, it sounds like. He actually bought you cigarettes one night. Tell us about this and how that made you feel.
At that age, I was very much a bargainer. It was kind of like, well, you do this for me and I'll do this for you. And that's the only way you're going to get it. I just gotten back from the Boston rehab.
That's kind of how you pattern your life these days. It's the Boston rehab, the Utah rehab, the whatever you can.
Totally, yeah. Totally. Everyone knows. When I had come back, there were about 2 weeks between Boston and they were sending me to this place for 9 months in Texas. My little bargain was, well, I won't do drugs if you buy me cigarettes. And I don't know. I didn't really think my dad would. It kind of surprised me. So I sent him out to buy cigarettes, and I just thought it was funny that the pastor was buying his daughter cigarettes. But that's kind of what he had to do to keep me from, you know, damage.
Now, Charles, obviously you're not condoning the fact that you wanted your daughter to smoke cigarettes, but you actually went and did that. Tell me what was behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cigarettes are nothing I advocate, and Heather doesn't advocate either. But it was one of those moments when I realized, you know, there are some of these battles in life that you will choose to lose on purpose so you can win the greater war. I never bought her cigarettes after that. Never did. But I think something transpired there in her that it communicated, okay, Dad, he has strong convictions. I know he doesn't like this, but he's making a choice. And I think that was another one of those milestones in our lives, that it communicated something to Heather, even though it was doing something that, man, I never even smoked in my life, you know. So I think it was a very powerful moment for her.
Yeah, I remember thinking that it was really cool because I know, you know, my dad, he's so just uptight, I think, about certain things. He's gotten better, but especially back then.
Yeah.
And it really showed me that he was trying to, like, extend himself to me. But something about that, because it was something, it was like the antithesis of what he would really do on his own in doing that for me. It, in a strange way, those cigarettes really meant something.
No, that's an incredible story. I put myself in that case, and I appreciate what your dad did. And like you say, he might be uptight. I'd love to how you said that, because I can imagine, although we're on the phone, I can imagine you looking kind of at each other like, well, you can be a little uptight. But what a wonderful, wonderful display of grace in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. A lot more talking about dads and daughters surviving the teenage years. There's a very good ending to this story, and we'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. Don't go away.
Good conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast, especially if you're a pastor and you're listening to this conversation, maybe a pastor's wife, and you've had this story with one of your kids and you're nodding your head saying, yep, been there, done that, bought the shirt. We offer this as an encouragement to you. If you're the parent of a young child, maybe you've got a son or daughter, 4, 5, 6 years of age, they're given to throwing tantrums, and you think, boy, this might be our story in a few years. I'm glad you're listening, and I hope that you will be proactive. Take some precautionary steps now with your kids. I encourage you to pick up Jim's book, The 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, and also Faith Conversations for Families. Both of those books, I think, will provide kind of a solid 1-2 punch in terms of helping to establish a foundation now with your kids, so you can have that kind of spiritual dialogue that needs to be permeating your home, and pray like crazy. There's no question about it, too. The power of prayer can cover a multitude of those sins, even preventively. We'll hear the conclusion of Jim's conversation with Charles and Heather Stone in just a moment.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I mean, I know I blew it, but then I had to hear about it from Mom.
Oh, that's always fun. Besides, you never know when Nice Mom or Mean Mom is going to show up.
Seriously. I mean, it's bad enough that I got in trouble, but I'd rather be, like, grounded for another week just so I didn't have to sit through another one of her lectures.
If you're a parent, you may not feel as though what you say to your children has much impact on them. Well, believe me, it does. When a child messes up, she's already going to be feeling a little down, so make sure she knows that it's what she did that upset you and that you're not rejecting her in the process. After all, we're trying to correct behavior without crushing character here. So choose wisely the words you use when interacting with your kids. The kind of relationship they have with you will determine the way they interact with everyone else they meet in this life. For a free copy of my tip sheet called 10 Ways to Correct Behavior Without Crushing Character, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Charles Stone with us, his daughter Heather Stone. We're talking about dads and daughters surviving the teen years. It's quite a story of rebellion, but also a story where at the end, it's not such a bad story. We can learn through some of the toughest times. Charles, you talk about in your book a scripture, Ephesians 6:4, that during this time, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. To both of you, how can fathers avoid doing this to their kids?
You already alluded to this, I think, in today's program about how I became so controlling that, like, I'm the dad, I'm the boss, daughter, you do what I say. And what that does, that can really crush the spirit of a child. And I think in retrospect, in my case, and maybe some other dads or moms out there, instead of coming across as the boss, coming across as certainly the kid knows that you're the authority figure, but come across in a much more loving, caring fashion that I really care for you. And the reason we communicate these things or have these rules is because I love you, kind of coming alongside instead of coming along over.
You know, Heather, if you would have read the word exasperate at that age, if you would have known what it was, I'm still learning my big words too. But, you know, that might have been a thing where you would have went, you are exasperating me like crazy, but yet he's kind of lightened up, like you mentioned. What do you think he learned through this process, your dad?
I think it's interesting because I think a lot of times parents will do a great job of raising their kids, but then they don't have enough faith in their own parenting to let them have a little more freedom. He has definitely learned a lot. I mean, for instance, how old was I? 16, 18, somewhere around there. And I went to see my friend in Texas. I came home and I said, look at my foot, Dad. And I had gotten a little tattoo. And, you know, he didn't even bat an eye because it's just, he learned that things like that aren't so important. You know, I came home with a tongue ring. And, I mean, you know, that was out in 3 months because I got sick of it. My nose ring was out in 3 days because I got sick of it. You know, he just learned that just because your kid wants to have, you know, tattoos or a stud in their tongue does not mean that they're a bad person, that they're a bad kid. Sometimes it's just sort of a way of experimenting and just sort of trying to figure out who you are.
And it really is back to what we were talking about in the program before this. You got to choose your battles wisely. And certain parents, certain kids, you're going to have different battles. There's not just one battle, obviously.
Right.
Charles, you journaled a lot during this time. How'd that help?
Oh, it was huge. There are those times when I just absolutely did not know where to turn. I was so broken. I was hurting so much. What journaling helped me do was to get my feelings down on paper. Instead of these feelings just rotating in my mind and floating through my heart, if I was able to write them down, pin them down, and then say, okay, is there a scripture that would correspond to how I'm feeling? Is there an action step I need to take? It was hugely important. In fact, almost every day, especially during those very difficult times, sometimes 1, 2, even 3 pages in my journal just processing this pain.
Yeah, I think that's so helpful for a lot of parents to be able to do it. Some people express themselves better actually in writing than they do verbally. Well, the obvious fact is that the prodigal came home. And first, Charles, tell us about that transformation from your perspective. And then, Heather, I want you to tell us what happened from your point of view as well. Charles?
Her coming home was not like one day like, oh, she's back to the way she was.
Right.
Actually, when she began to make the shift back toward faith and family, it was kind of like porcupine snuggling.
Right. I loved how you said that in the book. You actually told a story, and I went, oh, my goodness, that's the story. And you go, no, it's not that way. It's porcupine.
Yes, that's exactly right. It was a process. It wasn't an overnight thing, and that's why it's so important to maintain hope and keep the relationship alive, even though if it's tenuous. Because when that child begins his or her trek back home, they need to know the door is open. They need to know that the parents have changed. And I think there's one particular episode that probably was a turning point for Heather. I can let Heather tell about that when she got alcohol poisoning. That was a wake-up call for her.
Yeah, when I was, a senior in high school, me and some friends were just kind of half dozing off in English class, and the guy next to me was like, hey, want to go drink? And it was like 10 in the morning. And the next thing I remember after, you know, we went to his house and we started drinking. And the next thing I remember, it was maybe 6 at night and I woke up with IVs in my arms and those little heart monitors and all kinds of things beeping in this emergency room. My parents were there and I, you know, kind of was like, what happened? What happened? And apparently I'd gotten really bad alcohol poisoning and almost died. And that is what was finally made me say, you know what, if I keep drinking and doing these drugs, I'm going to end up killing myself. And that was sort of the first turning point. The second, I didn't really know what I was going to do with my life. I was about to graduate high school. I was like, I don't know. And I heard about a place in, it's actually in California, up at Hume Lake. It's called the Joshua Wilderness Institute. And it's kind of a Bible school, sort of, in a different, with a kind of a twist. They're, it's 48 kids, you know, 18 through 25, that really don't necessarily have a direction in life, don't know where they are. Some people are just fabulous Christians. Some people are kind of don't really know where they're going. And that really, that 9 months, it was a 9-month program. It gave me a chance to really be able to look at who I was and who God was and kind of reconcile what I was doing with who I wanted to be. And that really gave me a chance. That was really when I really turned around after that 9 months.
What I appreciate you saying, both of you really, is that sometimes it is instantaneous. People are delivered from, you know, these kind of things. And I'm always amazed at that story. But the fact is, usually in God's order and in his decency, it's a process. And I would imagine it's still a process. Charles, do you ever not trust her anymore?
Oh, let me tell you what, we are both strong-willed. We will butt heads, and we will be mad at each other for 2 or 3 days. But I think the strength of the relationship helps us make things right. And right now, one of the things that I'm learning, and she's going to be married in a few months, that the whole nurturing part that a dad needs to give during these very difficult times, because we also had to deal with a daughter who had a brain tumor, I wasn't able to give her that nurturing that she really needed. And she's processing that right now.
Right.
So I guess parenting is never really over.
No, you know, it really isn't. My father said once that one of my brothers was 50 and living with him, and he said, hey, you think it's tough now with your kids being teenagers? Wait till they're 50 and they're living back in the house. I started laughing. No, please. Heather, you have a section at the very end, and there's a sentence that you said, and I'd like you to talk about it. Don't fool yourself. sex is not free. You were talking to the daughters. What did you mean by that?
There's so much of you that you give away. You give away your body. You give away part of who you are. One of my best friends, actually, she actually got pregnant, and her dad was also a pastor. And because, you know, she was just afraid of how people would react, she went and got an abortion. Kids hear this all the time, you know, the STDs and AIDS and all that. But if the truth is, and especially being in a nursing program, really learning about this even more, this stuff is real. And you're not only playing with physical things like, you know, your body, your diseases, or pregnancy, you're also playing with your heart and gambling with that.
Yeah, and that's an important message to kids. A lot of times kids will also say, it's not going to happen to me, it'll happen to that other person too. I appreciate your vulnerability in that story, in that section. Well, there's probably many listeners today who have been hanging on every word the two of you have said because it's hitting way too close to their home. Their family's in shambles, maybe like yours was. Offer them some hope and encouragement in the remaining minute or so.
Well, I would really encourage every parent who feels like they're the only one out there. Mm-hmm. Their kid doesn't come home. Their kid cusses them out. Their kid drinks, sleeps around. They're not alone. There are people out there who care for you. There are people out there who want to come alongside you. And to always remember, the God of creation who sustains all, who created all, has never lost hope in your son or your daughter, and his promise is he will give you the strength and the mercy and the grace to never lose hope, that just perhaps, that daughter, that son that's hurt you so much is just on the cusp of turning back toward you and toward God.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Heather, for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Charles and Heather Stone here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme has been restoring a relationship with a rebellious child. It happened for the Stones. They went through a period of rebellion when Heather was 13 years of age. Your dad was a pretty high-profile pastor, and it just got to be too much for her, as is very common with a lot of pastors' kids. She started acting out. They tried to put the clamps down. And she started rebelling even worse against the treatment. So it's not an easy journey, but it's a hopeful journey. And Jim, I know that a lot of people have been listening to this program today, and they've been touched in many different ways, some negative, but hopefully some positive by the Stones.
Heather obviously went a little bit tougher. And there's a lot of parents who would say that the greatest heartache in their life is their child's rebellion. But there is great hope as well. And I think we need to remember that even the story of the prodigal son, where, yeah, you know, the son went away, but you know what? The father was there with loving arms. And I think it's a story that we as parents need to say to our own kids, because our kids will rebel and they aren't perfect. But it's because God says that to us. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So if you're the parent of a rebellious child, then you might be asking yourself, well, what happened to the kid I used to know? And is there hope? And can I find that kid again? Well, I want to encourage you that there is hope for restoring a relationship with a rebellious child. And Roger, I think, has a couple of resources that can help you greatly in that area.
One of the books that we recommend, of course, is the book by Charles and Heather Stone. It's called Daughters Gone Wild and Dad's Gone Crazy. That's the title that you'll be looking for. You can search that. You can find it wherever Christian books are sold. Also, Dr. Jim Burns' book, Faith Conversations for Families. I can't stress this enough, how you don't have to have a formalized, super organized family devotional time. But one of the ways that you can speak truth and kind of quiet some rebellions with your kids is to just look at every opportunity in your home as a teachable moment. Not all of them are, I understand that, but if you look at them and say, okay, where is there a place where we can start having a faith conversation about this issue here? You'd be amazed at the number of kids who you can talk away from sexual promiscuity or the possibility of drug and alcohol abuse simply by speaking into what's happening in their world and showing them that Jesus is there. And the Faith Conversations for Families book will help to show you how to do that. You can order a copy directly from Homeward. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Learn more when you go to homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward
financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.